This last week, I was at the gym, and I was, you know, when I go to the gym, I don't like to talk to anybody. Don't mess with me. You know, I'm focused. I'm zoned in. I'm there. You know, I get my headphones in, I pop those in, and I listen to my Jesus music, and I'm like going, and I get on the bike, and I'm pedaling away, then I go lift weights, and it's like, leave me alone, I'm gonna pump my own iron, right? Well, this last week, God had a different story for me. So it was a normal, you know, after work, I go to the Y and it's like, okay, I need to work out and it's going to be great. And I did, I put my AirPods in and I went to the bike, started biking. I was like, okay, this is going to be a fantastic workout. I get into the weight room area and I feel in my spirit like, okay, I'm in there's somebody that I need to talk to in the weight room. And I was like, nah, there's not, you know, one of those things. No, I don't think so. I'm going to do my thing and then I'm going to leave. But as I'm trying to lift some weights there, I was doing some chest, you know, presses and I'm like seeing this guy in the corner of my eyes. He was sitting and doing curls, but he was just bawling. He was just crying. And I look at him, I'm like, dude, if it hurts that much, just let it go, man. Just drop the weight. And so I do another set of the bench press, and I'm doing another set, and I just see that he's just, I mean, his head's hanging low, and I hear this small, still voice in your spirit, and some of you know what that is, and just like, hey, you need to go talk to this guy. And I said, no, I don't. I don't need to go talk to this guy. I have a routine. Don't take me out of my routine. I'm good. I'm not going to talk to the guy. And so I turned my Jesus music up even more because I'm a good Christian, listening to Christian music while I work out. And that voice again is like, you need to go talk to this guy. And again, I'm like, I don't think so. And finally, I'm like, fine. It's like a little kid, like, fine, I'll do it. And kind of, you know, drag my feet a little bit. I go up to him. I'm like, hey, man, are you okay? Or do you need some help? Or does something hurt? And I need to get somebody. And all he said was like, she left me. And I'm like, oh no, I'm in it now. Like, okay, what do you mean? She left me. My fiance of 3 years left me. And she took my dog. That was my dog. And I'm like, looking around going, is anybody else help him? Because I got to go lift weights. But I said, okay, she left you? Yeah. And they were my world. They're the only people. I don't know anybody here. I just moved here. I don't know anybody here. She took my dog and she took my air fryer. I love that air fryer. Like, whoa, okay, good. He's like, I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me here. I said, well, my name's Linfield. He goes, oh, that's cool. What's your first name? He's like, it's Linfield. I was like, okay, my name's Marcus. And I was like, hey, Marcus. I was like, let me be the first one to know you. And he goes, man, I haven't been introduced to anybody in forever. He goes, I go to a job and I don't talk to anybody. I go home and my fiance is usually there, but she's not there anymore. Nobody knows me. And the funny thing is, as I was preparing this message, and we're going to be in Romans 16, and there's so many names in the beginning of Romans 16. And I was preparing, like, okay, God, what do you want me to say? Like, what do you want me to talk about? Because I could just talk about all these names, but there's a lot of people that don't know any of these names, and sometimes they're only mentioned once in the Bible, and it's like, what do you want me to talk about? But the thing is that kept on coming up into my spirit saying, the names are important. And so I was like, okay, in that moment with Marcus at the Y, right here in Bettendorf, in the corner, I said, Marcus, your name matters. Your name matters. It matters to Jesus. And it now matters to me. And he was like, man, I've never heard that before. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he's like, well, I used to be religious. I used to do that. I used to go to church, but I don't want to go to church anymore. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Have you heard that before? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and never do it. Or they say do the opposite. And I'm like, Marcus, I want you to know that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. He goes, I've heard that before. I go, no, it's true. Jesus knows you. And he died for you. He rose again for you. Your name matters to him. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is not simply just Paul wrapping up a letter with shout outs to all these people and farewells to all these people. No, if we take a closer look, it reveals something more profound. I mean, the first part, first 16 verses of chapter 16 isn't just a filler. It's actually a snapshot that the Holy Spirit gives us of what the church is supposed to be like in action. And these names in these first 16 verses, these names represent real people living out the gospel across gender, across ethnicity, across social status, across roles. You'll see this happening. And then after verse 16, we're going to see if you've picked this up, but you'll see a tone shift with Paul. He shifts his tone and he issues a warning about division. And why does he do this? Because the church is not just a personal faith journey. No, it's a shared gospel family. Pastor and author Timothy Keller once said this. He said, the Christian life is personal, but never private. Let me say that again. The Christian life, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're a Christ follower, you're a Christian, the Christian life is personal, but never private. People watch you. People observe. Every Christian is either a missionary for Jesus or a pretender. I don't know how that hit some of you, but I think it's true. Every Christian is either a missionary living out the gospel, telling the gospel through their lives, the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they act for Jesus, or it's all lip service. They're pretending they have that relationship. So today, what I want to do in chapter 16, I want to explore three truths. Three truths that call us to faithfulness, unity, and gospel living. So go to your Bibles, if you have one, to Romans chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, we have ushers that would love to give you a Bible. Just raise your hand up and say, hey, I want a Bible. And if you don't have one at home, then that is a gift for you. So if you would like one, just raise your hands up and the ushers will get it for you. But here at Bridge City Church, we believe in Scripture. And so we're going to open the Word of God and we're going to look at it. Romans 16, verses 1, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Sintri. There you go. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Then verse 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now, I love how it starts out saying, hey, commend Phoebe. our sister Phoebe, you know, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And then you get to verse 6. It says, hey, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. And then verses 1 through 16, we see Paul naming over 24 people, men, women, Jews, Gentiles, leaders, laborers, some well-known, and some just mentioned once in Scripture. But here's the thing that I want to bring out of this, is that every name is recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's because in the body of Christ, faithfulness is never forgotten. God uses ordinary people with open homes, generous hearts, sacrificial love to spread his gospel. A.W. Tozer once said this, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That's a great quote. You've probably heard that before. But it's something that we need to think about. It's important to consider for our lives that God does not call the qualified. Because if he called me and I was I wouldn't be up here. He's been qualifying me from the beginning because it's nothing I can do. I'm not qualified to present the gospel. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And something that I believe that we should know and write down is this. You have a name that matters. I think some of you need to hear that today. That you have a name that matters. You might feel unseen, but heaven sees you. Man, you might feel unimportant, but your name is written in the book of life if you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hebrews 6:10 says it this way. It says, for God is not unjust so as to overlook our work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. God is not unjust so as to overlook. No, he's going to look at what you're doing. He's going to look at you living out the gospel message if you are a Christ follower. The gospel goes forward through ordinary names on God's list. But Paul doesn't just celebrate faith workers. No, he also gives a strong warning in chapter 16. I'd love to read verses 1 through 16, but frankly, there's just some names I can't pronounce, so we're not going to read that. So if you go to chapter 16, we'll go to verse 17. And it says this, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent, as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Man, right here we see a sudden shift in tone with Paul. Paul goes from celebrating a celebration about names and these people to confrontation. And why is this? Because gospel work is fragile. Division in the church doesn't just cause hurt. Man, it harms the witness of Christ. Paul isn't talking about enemies from outside the church here. He's talking about people inside the church. Those who stir up gossip, discontent, pride, doctrinal, oh, I can't even talk anymore, I'm done. See, he's qualifying me still. Theological error, things like that. He says, watch out, protect the family, keep the peace. See, and I want you to write this down, unity is essential. The gospel brings together what the world separates. Unity is essential for this. I mean, think about that. As we, as those that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the more unified we are, we have disagreements, of course. We have preference differences, of course. But as long as we know and we fight for and we will die for that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is our Savior, that he died for us, he rose again for us, and he will come again for us, man, if we're unified with that, then we can go out and be a witness, a strong witness for Jesus Christ. And we can be in unity under that. Psalms 133:1 says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and through the bond of peace. And then Jesus, in his own words on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:9, says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And this is not about fake harmony or ignoring sin. It's not about that. It's about choosing love over ego, truth over division, reconciliation over revenge. And let us remember, what we unite around is not our personalities. It's not our preference. It is the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we unite around. And we have a responsibility. If you are a Christ follower, you have a responsibility to protect unity. So what's the best way to guard, against division and to fulfill your role as a Christ follower? It's this, it's by living with integrity. It's by living with integrity. Because your life is always saying something about Jesus. Your life speaks Jesus. The way you live, your actions, your words, the way you work, the way you talk to your family, the way you talk to your neighbors, your coworkers, it speaks about Jesus. Which leads us to Paul's final thoughts here. Final thoughts in Romans. Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says this, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. I love that right there. Underline that in your Bible. To bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. See, the gospel message brings about the obedience of faith. A faith aligned with belief. What you believe about Jesus is shown by how you live. You are always preaching. Did you know that? If you're a Christ follower, you are always preaching. Even when you're not speaking, even when you don't say words, you say something. The way you act says something. The way you work says something. Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come in and see you or an absent, man, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Man, I love that. And then in Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory, not to you, but to your Father who is in heaven. Your obedience is a sermon. Your faithfulness, your forgiveness is a sermon. Your compassion, your generosity, your integrity, guess what? It all points people to Jesus Christ. So how are you living? How are you living? Does it do that? Man, when I think about that, it really humbles me. Because sometimes I don't live exactly like that. Sometimes I say harsh things. Sometimes I do things that I don't want to do, but yet I do them still. How is our life? How is your life? Is it pointing people to Jesus? Can they see clearly the gospel message in your life? Man, I believe that Christ followers should always live, and you can write this down, live like someone entrusted with the gospel. Like, we are entrusted with it. Like, it is such a precious, special gift that we hold it, we surround it, we give our lives to it, because it means so much to us. And we can't just keep it to ourselves. It's not something we can bottle up and lock away deep down. No, it needs to be out. And we're so filled with excitement because of it and passion because of it. We can't help but show Jesus Christ in the way we live. Whether at work or school or home, your life speaks. And the question is, will your actions lead others towards Jesus or away from Jesus? Philippians 1:27 says this again. Only let your manner of life, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. They get it. And you may never write a letter like Paul, but your life is a letter that's being read by the people around you. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Your life is a letter that people are reading. And what is that letter conveying? What are you showing people? What are they hearing from the way you live? So if you're feeling unseen today, I just want you to take heart, because God sees you. If you're feeling discouraged by conflict, man, take heart. Take courage. Christ is your peace. If you're unsure how to live this out, this gospel message, and take comfort, because you can't do it alone. His grace is enough. You know, Romans 16 is not just the end of a letter. No, it's a snapshot of the gospel community. And we see in Romans 16 that every name in God's family matters. Every faithful life makes a difference. And every follower of Jesus, man, has a role to play in this gospel story. But before any of those names were greeted in the first part of chapter 16, before any service was rendered, there had to be a moment of surrender. There had to be a moment where it's like, my life is nothing without Jesus. My name is nothing without Jesus knowing it. So maybe as we've walked through Romans, especially Romans 16, you've noticed something. You've noticed something stirring in your heart, and maybe you've heard the names of Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Mary, and you said, man, I want to be like that. I want to be like that where the life that they live matters. I want to be like that. I want my name to be known by God. Guess what? Your name is known by God. It means something to him. Can I tell you something powerful? At least I believe it's powerful. Your name matters to Jesus. That's powerful. I mean, the creator of the universe, the one that came for us, the one that shed so much blood for us, died, suffered on a cross for us, came out of the tomb victorious for us. Man, he knows me. He knows you by name. You know, I'd love to say Marcus accepted Jesus that day at the YMCA, but he didn't. That doesn't mean that he's not going to. I told him, hey, Marcus, you know what? Jesus died for you, rose again. You know, I said that. And I'm like, Jesus loves you. Let him be the one that's leading you. He sees you. He knows you. Let that be what matters. He never prayed a prayer. He never did that. He just said, man, thanks. I gotta go. I said, well, I hope to see you next week in the gym. And he said, oh, you'll probably see me. I gave him my number, we exchanged numbers, and I was kind of hoping this weekend he would have said, man, I gave my life to Christ, Linfield, and I could say, that's great, because then I can use it in my message. But he didn't. That doesn't mean he's hopeless. I'm gonna see him, hopefully, tomorrow. And I'm gonna come up to him again and say, Marcus, guess what? God loves you and so do I. How's it going? I hope we pray for Marcus together. I'm gonna be after him. But you have a name. Marcus has a name that matters to God. Heaven sees you. God knows you. Even if the world has overlooked you or life has left you feeling unseen, Jesus has always seen you. He's always seen you, and he's calling you today. The gospel is not just a story about faithful workers. No, it's a story of a Savior who gave his life so yours could be redeemed.